You're listening to The Rainmaker Show on 900 AM, the talk of the Palm Beaches with Riscala Stefan, providing a flood of opportunities to benefit your life. Reach the show at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Riscala.
Hello and welcome, everyone. It is another beautiful day out here in South Florida. If you're not living in South Florida, you don't know what you're missing. I heard that it was still rather cold. I mean, for a Floridian, anything below 70 degrees is cold for us. I heard it was still rather cold up in Massachusetts. Today, we have a sponsor for the show. I am honored and privileged to bring to you Susan Club, who is one of the top avian vets that I have ever run into. Susan has been in Palm Beach County for a number of years. We're going to get to talk to her in just a minute, and she'll be able to tell you some of the things that she's done. And our co-sponsor today, Diane Wittick of Bowen Realty. We want to thank Diane for her part in playing and helping sponsor the show. So this morning I have Susan Club with me. Susan, good morning.
Good morning.
Or actually, good afternoon. I'm still thinking it's morning. Good afternoon. So, Susan, I know a little bit about you because we've known each other for quite some time. And I wanted to ask you some questions. There are people out there who have a wide variety of pets, anything from a snake to a frog to a turtle. I have a couple of friends of mine who have pigs. Is any of this something that you can help them with?
Well, I'm a veterinarian, and I treat basically all the animals that the other vets don't want to see. So we see pretty much everything except dogs, cats, horses. I do mostly birds, especially parrots. That's really kind of my specialty. But we see reptiles. We see primates. We see the occasional fish, which is pretty crazy.
Wait a minute. We see a fish? Did you say fish?
Pocket pets, you know, the rabbits, hamsters, bunnies, ferrets. Small farm animals, lots of chickens, ducks, geese, goats, and we do see pigs.
And you see pigs. And I want the listeners to know as well, there's a primate that you work with as well, right?
I've worked a lot with a variety of primates, yes.
And is the parrot jungle, is that one of the places that you've done some work for?
The old parrot jungle in Miami, I started working there in 1988, and then the park was moved to Watson Island in Miami. Went through a name change, is now called Jungle Island, and I'm still working at Jungle Island. Yes.
And you've also worked with, correct me if I'm wrong, you've also worked with monkeys?
I've worked with quite a few monkeys, yeah. Monkeys of all sizes, all different types of monkeys.
And your specialty is parrots. And I like what you told me about parrots. I really never thought about this, but it is true. No other pet can tell you they love you. What other pet do you know? I mean, your dog can tell you they love you, but they can't say I love you. They can say bark, bark, bow, wow, or growl, but they can't say I love you. And that there is over 350 species and subspecies of parrots. So let's talk a little bit about, if I wanted to buy a parrot, what should I do? I mean, I'm interested in a bird. I don't know spit about birds. What should I do?
Well, the first thing you should do is really research what type of parrot is best for your family. And people get really enamored with the large parrots, the cockatoos, the macaws. These birds require a lot of space and time and personal interaction. So for a first-time bird owner, I usually don't recommend the large parrots. If you start with the small parrots, there's a lot of wonderful little species. I mean, even the common parakeet, the budgie, they're incredible little creatures. They have wonderful voices. They can learn a lot of words. They, you know, are very interactive, but they don't require as much care. Cockatiels are another excellent pet parrot species for the whole family. They do well with children. You know, they're small. They don't take a lot of space. They don't need a lot of care. They do need to be, you know, cared for properly and get frequent interaction, but they don't develop a lot of the behavioral problems that some of the larger parrots do.
How big are these that you're talking about? Are they something fit in your hand or fit both hands? Or
well, they'll sit on your finger.
Wow.
Yeah, a cockatiel is about a quarter pounder.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they're typically about 100, 120 grams. So, yeah, they're a quarter pounder.
So I know nothing about birds, and I come to you, and you say I should – first you would ask me what am I looking for in a bird, I'm sure, and then you would find out about my home situation. And knowing my home situation, I have a cat. I have a dog. What kind of bird would I be looking at?
Well, usually people come to me after they've already purchased
their
bird.
Oh, it's too late.
Yeah. They've already been
to
the pet store,
they've gone
online, or they found a breeder, or they pick up some bird that somebody wants to get rid of on Craigslist or something like that. So usually they've already obtained their bird by the time they get to me, so I'm not doing the home inspections. Adoptions are another way that you can go for obtaining a pet bird.
And do you have adoptions available?
We do adopt out birds periodically. We don't have a lot of them available. And a lot of them that we take in because people can't take care of them anymore, maybe not really pet quality, but certainly we do have adoptions available.
And what I see here in this briefing that you gave me, the breeding is on a decline.
Yes, yes. When I first started practicing out in Loxahatchee, I was working mostly with breeders, and there were a lot of bird breeders in the South Florida area. And over time, most of them have gotten out of the business. They have sold their collections, or they're retired, or they've moved away. And breeding birds is a tough business. I'm a breeder as well as a veterinarian, and it's a tough business because it's an all-consuming, you know, it takes a lot of time. You don't take days off. Somebody has to be there to take care of the birds, especially the baby birds, all the time. So it's a tough business, and a lot of people haven't stuck with it. So my practice then evolved from being mostly working with breeders to now work mostly with pets and expanded to all kinds of creatures.
So let's put the parrots aside for a minute, because I know some people out there that have reptiles. They have either snakes or a wide variety of other things. Now, do you look at snakes?
Yeah, we see snakes. We do. We see snakes. They're very popular. I think people are probably not as keyed into bringing their reptiles to the vet as people are with birds.
Mm-hmm. I don't know of any vet. I mean, honestly, I don't know of any vet that sees reptiles. I've never known a vet that sees reptiles that I'm aware of. Anyway, not that they announce. You know.
Well, I saw two bearded dragons this morning. So
wow.
We do see the reptiles. Bearded dragons are really popular. Tortoises, iguanas. The whole gamut, chameleons, the whole gamut of reptiles that are kept as companion animals, we do see them.
One of the things that I found rather interesting was rats.
Rats, yes. And if you're into rats, there's a wonderful local group, a rat rescue called Josephine's Rattery. And these people love their rats, and they come in for veterinary care, and they're very passionate about their rats, and they do rat adoptions. I think they do rat adoptions at Petco, Josephine's Rattery. So if you love rats, this would be a great group of people to become involved with. I mean, these people are passionate about their rats.
Are rats... I mean, I think about history and what I've heard about rats, and they're not very clean. Is it safe to have a rat?
Oh yeah, yeah. If they're captive bred, I mean, the mm-hmm. you know, wild rats can be unclean because they go to unclean places, and then they can track diseases. But pet rats are well adapted to captivity. They're very interactive. They're very smart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're a little smelly, but you know, that's. There's downsides to everything, but we have a lot of clients that are very passionate about their pet rats.
I was amazed to find out that you here it is, a beautiful lady, and she's seeing rats. Go figure. All right, if you have a question, you can reach us at 1-877-960-9960. We're going to take a quick break and listen from our sponsor, Diane Wittick at Bowen Realty. Thank you, Diane.
Thinking of moving? Before you do anything else, call Diane Wittick of Bowen Realty. She provides a concierge service. Things like having your home or condo packed and shipped. Even take care of your home repairs or upgrades. Diane has the expertise to get it done. As a seller, you will have constant contact. She will furnish you with bids on any services that might need completion. Air conditioning, plumbing, handyman, and even cleaning. Living up north and have a home to sell here in South Florida? Just give her the keys, address, and a signature. Your payment will be wired when the property is sold. That's right, Diane does it all. Thinking of buying? Diane has great listening skills. Tell her what you want, give her your budget, and like a genie, she will make your real estate wish come true. There's no regrets when you choose Diane Wittick of Bowen Realty. To reach Diane, call 561-247-5478. That's 561-247-5478. Diane Wittick at Bowen Realty, located in Wellington at Wellington Trace East and Forest Hill Boulevard. 561-247-5478.
You're listening to The Rainmaker Show on 900 AM, The Talk of the Palm Beaches, with Riscala Stefan, providing a flood of opportunities to benefit your life. Reach the show at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Riscala.
And you are listening to The Rainmaker Show, and I am honored and privileged to have with me today Dr. Susan Club. Dr. Club, how long have you been doing what you've been doing?
Well, I graduated from veterinary school almost 40 years ago.
Lord.
I've been working with exotic animals for 40 years in a variety of capacities. But recently I'm devoting myself primarily to my veterinary practice in Loxahatchee.
And I've been there several times. It's out on E Road, I believe, right?
Correct. On E Road. Yeah. Like egg. We say like egg.
Yeah, egg. Okay. Egg in your face.
Egg Road in Loxahatchee.
And how long have you been there?
I bought the property in 1992. And as I had said earlier, I was doing mostly a mobile practice at that time, working with breeders pretty much all over South Florida. But then I finished my new clinic in 2002, and that's where I prefer to work because I have everything organized the way I need it and all my equipment and everything's easy and the medications are there and I have my staff.
And so. It is a beautiful clinic, by the way. I have been there many times, and it is state of the art. She has a top of the line computer system. Her records are up to date constantly. She is one who will continuously be sure that your whatever it is, whether it's a bird, whether it's a reptile, whatever it is, it has the best care available. Let me ask you about licensing. Does the state license any of this stuff, or is this something you just do on your own?
Oh, no. I have a veterinary license issued by the state, and we have tons of licenses that we have to, you know, we have county occupational license. I have a drug enforcement administration license for controlled substances. I have permits for this and that and for everything. So yeah, it's definitely a business that requires state licensing.
And if somebody wants to see you, can they make an appointment, or is this just walk-in kind of thing?
No, they need to call. If they want to come in, they need to call and make an appointment, because that way we can better ensure everybody gets seen in a timely manner. We don't want people just waiting and with an indeterminate amount of time that under which they may be seen. We pride ourselves in trying to get people quick attention. A lot of my lab work I do in-house. And so when we have someone come in, for example, with a parrot and they want an annual checkup, we call our annual exam, where we do blood work and a bacterial culture and a Gram stain. We do most of that lab work while they're there in the office. So that if they need medications, they can, you know, we can brief them on it and dispense their medications and make sure, you know, they understand everything, hopefully before they leave the office.
Now, to me, correct me if I'm wrong, but that to me would be a tremendous advantage because you'll have the answers that you need almost immediately, correct? Or within a brief, very brief period of time. You don't have to take whatever cultures that you've taken and send them out and wait for them to come back. The answers show up fairly quickly. Is that right?
Well, the cultures still take a few days, but I do them in-house. Mm-hmm. But the blood work, we do the basic blood work in-house in 15 minutes.
So you know, God forbid, if you brought in an animal that was not doing very well and you took blood work within 15 or 20 minutes, you'd have a generally good idea what's going on with this animal through the blood, correct?
Right. And then we combine that with other diagnostics as needed, depending on the animal and the symptoms and what's going on with them.
Can you tell me about Dirt Road? What is Dirt Road?
Oh, well, that was a little note. My clinic is on a dirt road. I'm in Loxahatchee, you know. There's dirt roads out there. A lot of people are not too happy with the dirt road, but the reason I'm out there is I am a breeder as well, and I wanted to have enough space so that I could have my birds and not have problems with neighbors. Mm-hmm. So, you know, parrots can be noisy. Certainly some species more so than others, but I like peace and quiet and tranquility and beautiful flowers and nice plants and gorgeous birds. And
all of those are existing right now out there in that location in Loxahatchee. How do I know? Because I've been there and seen it. Let me ask you about this. How expensive are the services? I mean, if you're able to, you may not be able to tell me, but in relation to other vets, how expensive are your services?
Well, I try to keep my services reasonable in price. And my annual exam, which includes blood work, a gram stain of the stool, bacterial culture, and a physical exam, is less than $200. And I feel it's actually lower than most people in my specialty. But again, that's because I do so much of my work in-house. Mm-hmm. So that I can turn it over quickly, and also I want to be affordable for people. I don't want people to be afraid to go to the vet because they're afraid it's gonna be just too expensive and out of their budget. And so we try to work with people. I have my overhead as well, and I have to make a profit as mm-hmm. well. But I try to keep everything as reasonable as possible for my clients because I want them to feel comfortable seeking veterinary care. That's important to me.
And I can attest to that. I have seen it firsthand. And when people come to see you and they want to pay you, you accept, of course, you accept cash. Do you accept checks?
We accept checks. Most everything is credit or debit these uh-huh. days.
Yeah, you accept credit cards as well.
Right, right. But we also accept care credit. And if a client can't afford the care that their pet needs at the time, there's a service called Care Credit that they can apply for credit, and then if they pay it back within the period of time, I think there's no interest at all on it. And so this is another way we try to make the services affordable.
So when someone brings you a pet, and I have been there personally and seen this, and I'm asking this because I know your preference and I want the people to hear your preference. If I have a sick bird, do I just bring the bird in without anything, without a carrier or anything, or is that okay?
It's best to bring the bird in a carrier because sometimes if you're walking with the bird on your shoulder or something, they get frightened and they'll jump, and if they can fly, that's really bad. They may fly away. Yeah. So, yeah, preferably they should be contained in a carrier. And like a regular dog airline kennel works mm-hmm. really well. That's what a lot of people use.
And we're still talking about birds. Let me ask you, we had something we had mentioned earlier, and that was chickens. You see chickens and you see ducks and you see geese.
I see all kinds of feathered creatures, and chickens are becoming really popular these days. People love
that.
Their chickens. Yeah. There's something very pastoral, something very soothing about watching chickens scratching in the yard and pecking for stuff. And I mean, people even have diapers for their chickens, all kinds of crazy things for chickens.
So do people have pet ducks?
People have pet ducks.
Really? So when we're talking about chickens or ducks or geese, are these taken from the wild and then tamed, or are they raised up from?
The chickens are domestic. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will buy them from other people that are raising chickens. Some people buy them online from hatcheries. The important thing about chickens is if you're looking to buy chickens, try to make sure that they're vaccinated. Some of the diseases like Merrick's disease, chickens need to be vaccinated at 1 day of age. So if you're getting random source chickens, you're more likely to have disease and parasitism problems than if you buy them from an online hatchery and buy vaccinated chickens. But then you'd have to raise them up.
So these are all domesticated then. Basically, what you're seeing is domesticated animals. You're not seeing like wild.
Right. Well, we do see – there's a lot of Muscovy ducks in South Florida, and they are an invasive species that's not native to this area. And we have people that bring Muscovy ducks in, and they're not my favorite species, but I
– Invasive in what way?
They're not native to the area. Mm-hmm. They reproduce at a high rate, and they drive out other species of native wildlife. And they're very prominent in ponds around apartment complexes and stuff, and people love them. They feed them.
Mom loved the ducks, but what they left behind wasn't too pretty. They seemed to walk and poop.
they poop frequently, and it's a bit smelly, but, you know, that's...
So here's another one that I found rather interesting. Goats. You deal with goats.
I deal with goats. I love goats. You got to love goats. They're just lovable creatures. You know, they have great personalities, and people become very attached to them. we see a fair number of goats.
So I call you, and I'm going to take a hypothetical situation. I have a bird, and the bird's acting kind of goofy, and I say to you, listen, my bird is doing this, this, and this. What should I do? Can you tell me what's going on with my bird?
Well, we try to give some advice like that over the phone, but we really can't make a diagnosis over the phone. And very often, what the client sees is different from what I see when I see the animal in front of me. And very often, the client also has difficulty describing the symptoms. But if they think their bird is sick, it probably is sick. Birds evolved, as parrots, evolved to hide their symptoms. And that's because they're a prey species in the wild. And if you're a prey species and you look like you're sick, a predator focuses in on you and says, oh, there's the easy one. There's the one that's going to be a little slower. It's going to be a little easier for me to catch. And so it's hardwired in these species to hide their symptoms. Mm. And so they're going to hide their symptoms from you as long as they possibly can. And so by the time an owner thinks their bird is sick, it's probably really sick and it needs to come in. Mm-hmm. And so they typically will call and they want some kind of home remedy, or they want us to just give them some antibiotics. We can't do those things. We're not allowed, you know, by law, we're not supposed to by law to dispense antibiotics without a prescription. And the FDA is cracking down on this even harder now with a lot of products you used to be able to buy in pet stores. They're just not going to be available anymore. Hmm. And that's to control drug-resistant bacteria in our environment.
Wow.
So if they say their bird is sick, we try to get them into the clinic as soon as possible, because time is critical with a sick bird.
I want to ask you about, we're going to jump around a little bit, back to reptiles. I heard that reptiles have this thing called metabolic bone disease, and that it's becoming more and more common. What is metabolic bone disease? What am I looking at?
Well, metabolic bone disease is basically a deficiency in calcium or D3 or both. It's a calcium metabolism disorder, and it's caused by diet and husbandry considerations. And reptiles, their husbandry is super critical. If you get the husbandry right, you very often will have a great reptile with no problems. But if you don't have the husbandry right, then they start to develop problems. And reptiles take a long time to get sick, and they take a long time to get well. They're kind of different metabolically than birds. Birds have a much more rapid metabolic rate, and so they get sick quicker and they get well quicker. Most of the foods that captive reptiles are fed have an inappropriate calcium phosphorus ratio.
Oh.
They should have a calcium phosphorus ratio of 1:1 or 2 parts calcium to 1 part of phosphorus. Most of the foods we feed them are high in phosphorus. And so it's super important to get that calcium into their diet on a daily basis. If these food insects were in the wild, they'd be eating natural calcium sources, which they don't get in captivity.
Mm.
So that's super important. And also UVB and UVA light sources to help them produce vitamin D are critical to their health.
Think about that. So if you have a pet indoors, you should have like a black light or something?
You want the full spectrum light that produces UVA and UVB rays. And those bulbs don't last forever, so they need to be changed about every 6 months to a year.
Oh, that quickly. Wow.
Because they'll still produce light when they're not producing the beneficial rays. Now, certainly nocturnal species like snakes and things are not so susceptible to that. It's the diurnal species, the species that bask in the sun, the lizards and the tortoises and the turtles that are more susceptible to these problems.
And so the light that you're talking about, is this similar to like a light that they use for growing plants?
Right. Yeah, it's like sunlight that has the beneficial rays in it that help the body to produce vitamin D.
So if someone has a reptile, and if I understand what you're telling me correctly, it is in their best interest, as well as the reptile's best interest, to have you see that at least once a year. Would that be correct?
Of course.
Yeah. Otherwise, we're going to – I'm just kind of surmising what you've explained to me this morning. And we have not had this conversation before. We haven't talked about reptiles. So I'm learning as we're talking. Otherwise, the reptile is like some of the birds is going to hide some of the symptoms that they have, and by the time you realize that reptile is sick, it's possible it's going to be too late.
That's true. They hide their illnesses as well, and I think people are not as attuned often to exotic animals as they are to the dog or the cat that's showing symptoms. You know, if the dog has diarrhea, you know it, and you clean it up and you do something about it. Or if they're scratching all night and keeping you awake, then you know it and you do something about it. But people have to be a little more diligent with exotic animals and a little more observant and make sure that they, you know, watch for the subtle signs of illness. People tell me all the time, my bird was fine yesterday, and he was dead this morning.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and I say, well, he wasn't fine yesterday.
Yeah, couldn't have been,
He was just hiding it from you. You just didn't know he wasn't fine yesterday.
Wow.
And so that's why, you know, we need to do laboratory work in order to find some abnormalities and hopefully correct them and correct the husbandry before the bird gets so sick that it was fine yesterday and dead today.
You mentioned something a minute ago about scratching, and I've noticed that there are parrots who, for whatever reason, pull their feathers. Can you help people who have parrots that pull their feathers?
We work a lot with plucking birds, and this has been or feather-damaging birds, and this has been one of the focuses of my work for many years. And it's a complex thing. There's no one answer. You know, you usually hear that they're bored. But I think it's a little more complex with that. There's skin diseases, there are behavioral problems, there's sexually related problems, there are infections. You know, if they're picking at one particular area, there may be an underlying problem in that part of the body. So if somebody calls me up and says, my bird is pulling its feathers, what can I do? I say, well, you need to bring it in so we can see in this particular bird what's going on so that hopefully we can tailor a diagnosis and a treatment plan that'll work for the particular bird. So there are diagnostic procedures, special diagnostic procedures that I do for feather picking birds in order to, again, try to tailor a control program. And this is not something you're usually going to fix immediately. It's not typically an easy fix thing. It's like a management thing to control it.
I was going to ask you, you had said something about, I lost my train of thought. You had mentioned something that I'm completely gone. All right, let me get on to something else, and I'll think about it, and I'll come back to it. Before I do that, let's hear from our co-sponsor, Diane Wittick at Bowen Realty.
Thinking of moving? Before you do anything else, call Diane Wittick of Bowen Realty. She provides a concierge service. Things like having your home or condo packed and shipped. Even take care of your home repairs or upgrades. Diane has the expertise to get it done. As a seller, you will have constant contact. She will furnish you with bids on any services that might need completion. Air conditioning, plumbing, handyman, and even cleaning. Living up north and have a home to sell here in South Florida? Just give her the keys, address, and a signature. Your payment will be wired when the property is sold. That's right, Diane does it all. Thinking of buying? Diane has great listening skills. Tell her what you want, give her your budget, and like a genie, she will make your real estate wish come true. There's no regrets when you choose Diane Wittick of Bowen Realty. To reach Diane, call 561-247-5478. That's 561-247-5478. Diane Wittick at Bowen Realty, located in Wellington at Wellington Trace East and Forest Hill Boulevard. 561-247-5478.
You're listening to The Rainmaker Show on 900 AM, The Talk of the Palm Beaches, with Riscala Stefan, providing a flood of opportunities to benefit your life. Reach the show at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Riscala.
Okay, we are back, and today I am honored and privileged to have with me Susan Klug, who is an avian vet. And I want to toot her horn a little bit, because she probably won't. I've known this person for well over 20 years. I know that the passion that this person has, not only for animals, but for other people. She knows how people care about their pets and the pain and the anguish that will bring when a pet becomes sick. And she goes out of her way to see to it that you and your pet are treated properly. Another thing that she probably won't mention to you, I refer to her as one of the top avian vets in the world. She may not say that. But that's how I feel about her, because I know that there are people in other countries that are willing to pay her to come see their animals. And that speaks volumes. There aren't a whole lot of people out there that you can call up and go, hey, listen, I want you to come fly to my country. I've got some birds I need you to take care of. Unless you carry a tremendous amount of credentials, unless somebody is absolutely convinced that you know what you're doing, I don't think you would fall into that category. So we're back with Dr. Susan Klug. Susan, thank you for taking the time to come in today. And we were talking about a couple of things before we went on the break. One of the things I wanted to ask you, diet for birds. Do I go to the store and buy bird food? And is that okay to give my bird?
Well, the diet situation for birds is kind of complex. I mean, certainly because a lot of the parrots that we have in captivity and keep for companion animals are long-lived, they can live for quite a while with malnutrition. And the typical seed diet mixes that we see available for pet birds, depending on the brand and the specific type, are just really not complete. Mm-hmm. They just don't have all the nutrients the birds need to thrive long-term. The fortified diets are fortified with vitamins and minerals, but those vitamins and minerals will spray it on the surface of the seed. The bird shells the seed and spits the shell out.
Yeah.
So over time, these things can have a detrimental effect. There are formulated diets. People call them pellets. They typically should be more accurately called extruded food because it's manufactured similar to dog foods, extruded dog foods. So kibbles, pellets, whatever you want to call them. And those are more balanced. And for the mainstay of the diet, long-term health, that's probably the best way to go. I think variety is important for any species and for parrots especially because they're super intelligent creatures and they like to have some variety in their life. And fresh fruits and vegetables are a great way to provide that variety and also provide the living enzymes of fresh foods.
Wow. And do you have food available for people with birds? Do you? I don't know that you do or don't. That's why I'm asking. Do you have bird food?
We don't typically sell a lot of food out of the clinic, but mm-hmm. we do recommend the basic diet for most parrots be a pellet or an extruded diet. Then they can add in some seeds fresh fruits and vegetables, I think, are super important. A lot of people cook for their parrots. They make birdie bread. They make pastas.
Oh,
they make
goodness.
All kinds of things.
Birds can eat pasta?
Oh, yeah. Birds can. Lord. They love pasta. Wow. I don't know how parrots know about pizza, but they love pizza crust. They like all these things. Like us, they like things that are not good for them.
What about beer?
Well, yeah, you want to avoid alcohol with your parrots, but they would like a little sip of beer every once in a while.
Probably want a beer? Well, since we're talking about birds, I want to ask you, as somebody who really doesn't know anything about birds, how do I look at a bird, or I've just gotten a bird, what do I look for? What signs are there, if there are any, that the bird is not doing well? The bird may be sick in some way. Is there any way I can tell?
Well, you look for malfunction in the major body systems, like the respiratory tract. If you see a discharge from the nose, from the mouth, from the eyes, there may be a respiratory illness. If the stools change, it's important to watch the stools of the bird and to see, if they're loose, if they change color. Sometimes with different foods, they may loosen. Like if you eat a lot of vegetables, the stool's going to be more loose.
Mm-hmm.
If they eat colored foods, like colored pellets, sometimes the colors will come through in the stool. You want to look for weight loss. And I find most people don't even know how to tell if a bird has a good weight. And what mm-hmm. we do is we feel their keel, their breast muscle, and they should be nice and round. The bone that goes down the middle of the chest, the keel bone, you'll see the breast bone in a chicken if you eat chicken, and it should have a nice pad of muscle on each side of that breast bone. If it doesn't, the bird is underweight. If they're sleeping excessively, if they're not eating well, if they're eating too much, all of these can be signs of illness. If they're fluffed up also, they fluff up if they're sick because they're trying to insulate themselves and maintain their body temperature.
And something that we haven't mentioned yet on the show that I would like you to do right now is, if someone wants to call your clinic, what number do they call?
The clinic number is 561-795-4878.
And if they want to email you, can they email you as well?
They can do rainforestclinic@aol.com.
Rainforest Clinic is all one word.
Yes.
rainforestclinic@aol.com. Is there any other way that they can contact you? Can they fax you?
Yeah, they can fax us.
So
what
I'm getting
at, or they can send us a letter or a postcard. That's fine too.
What I'm getting at is that you're very easily accessible. I think that's the point I'm trying to make. That if you need help, that you are there, and it's not a hard thing to do. It's not like trying to reach a politician, for Pete's sake. You pick up the phone, you dial 561-795-4878, and you will get one of her staff. If you don't get her, and you will find that her staff are extremely knowledgeable in what they do. They are very friendly. They are compassionate. They are there under the guise of Dr. Club, and Dr. Club's vision for her clinic is that to do the very best that she can possibly do, not only for the animal, but for you too, because she understands this is something that you care deeply about. And when you see that animal in pain, then you feel the pain as well. I wanted to go back to the feather picking a minute, because I had a lapse there for a minute. I was going to ask you on the feather picking, is any of that possibly emotional? Could that be emotional?
Oh, definitely.
If somebody is not taking proper care of their pet or not giving their pet love or, kind of separating from the pet, could that cause that as well?
Right.
Yeah.
If they're neglected, birds get depressed. Birds get upset when their owners leave town and come back. And, sometimes they'll pluck when the owners leave town because they don't understand why. They don't know why you haven't come in and taken care of them for a few days, or you have somebody else, a pet sitter. It depends on the species again. Like mm-hmm. the cockatoos and the African greys are very emotional.
Yes.
Very emotional.
The cockatoos
very sensitive.
Are the white ones, right?
Yeah, there's white ones, there's pink ones, there's black ones.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm thinking white. I was at your I was at your clinic one day, and I think it was a cockatoo, it was a white bird, and one of the girls did something and he or she didn't like what she did. You talk about loud. My goodness, that bird let out a shriek that could pop your eardrums. So it takes a special kind of person, right, to have a bird that's going to be shrieking and screaming like that. It's something that a lot of people don't consider before they get a bird, do they?
Right, right. Cockatoos certainly can be very noisy, and if you ignore your bird, very often they'll shriek or they'll yell because they want that attention. There's ways those problems can be dealt with. I have a good friend who's a behaviorist. Her name is Barbara Heidenreich, and she has webinars on problems with screaming, biting, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. and ways to train the birds to help to alleviate some of these problems.
Wow. Okay, now I want to talk about something completely different than what we've talked about so far. We've heard about the birds and we've heard about the bees, and I have never heard of a bee vet. Explain that to me.
Yeah, that's a new thing. As I'd mentioned earlier, the FDA is limiting the availability of over-the-counter antibiotics. And I think a lot of people are familiar with that there's a problem with bees and that bees are declining. Yeah. Actually, there's two diseases that are being found in the Florida area. There's American foul brood and the European foul brood. And what it is an infection that gets into the cells when the bees put their honey and seal off the holes in the comb, mm-hmm. and the larvae get infected and die. And these diseases can be controlled by antibiotics. But now the FDA is requiring a veterinary prescription for the antibiotics for the beekeepers. So I've had to brush up on bee diseases and bee treatments and writing prescriptions for beekeepers.
Bees get antibiotics?
Bees get antibiotics.
Wow. The source of this disease that you're running into, have they figured out where it's coming from?
Well, it's a long-term thing. It's not something that just happened recently. Mm-hmm. You know, these diseases have been around for centuries probably. But like with any other production situation with animals, you know, you put animals in a tight area, like a lot of beekeepers have a lot of hives.
Right, yep.
And then a disease can be spread from one hive to another. And with one of the diseases, the American foul brood, the state even destroys, they burn the hives to get the disease under control. And so then, just in case an infected bee went over into another hive, then they treat the other hives, and that way they can control the disease and protect the hives, and then there's a withdrawal time of 6 weeks to make sure there's no antibiotics in the honey. And so, you know, I think it's a very progressive thing, and it gets the veterinary professional involved in production and control of diseases rather than owners just giving antibiotics if they don't know what they're trying to treat.
You are the first and only bee vet I've ever met.
Well, I think I'm the first one in the area. That's what the local bee people tell me. They said they've been looking for somebody to work with. And it's
that's
like,
amazing.
Why not?
I never thought of
birds and bees.
I'm shocked that there's a vet for bees. You know, I read an article a couple of weeks ago, and they are claiming that bees are now an endangered species. Are you aware of that? Do you have any information regarding that?
I don't know if they're an endangered species. I mean, the common one that we use is the European honeybee. Mm-hmm. But the diseases, if they go uncontrolled, can have a profound effect. And, of course, the use of insecticides has a bad effect on bees as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, insecticides are commonly used to control mosquitoes in places like South Florida, to control vector-borne viral diseases primarily. And so, unfortunately, non-target species are affected by applications of insecticides as well.
So now I know this is going to be a silly question, but it needs to be asked. I don't bring my bees in, right?
Well, so far what I'm working off of is that there's agricultural officials who go and visit the bee farmer And they make a diagnosis, and then they have a report, and then it lets me know what disease has been found in the particular apiary, they call a bee farm apiary.
Apiary, yeah. So do you end up going out there?
Well, I haven't yet. I don't have a bee suit. I'm going to have to work
okay,
on that.
All of you beekeepers out there, listen closely. Dr. Susan Club, first bee vet in South Florida that I'm aware of. I've never met a bee vet before. First bee vet that I'm aware of in South Florida, Dr. Susan Club, 561-795-4878. I'd like to hear one more time from our co-sponsor, if we may, please.
Thinking of moving? Before you do anything else, call Diane Wittick of Bowen Realty. She provides a concierge service. Things like having your home or condo packed and shipped. Even take care of your home repairs or upgrades. Diane has the expertise to get it done. As a seller, you will have constant contact. She will furnish you with bids on any services that might need completion. Air conditioning, plumbing, handyman, and even cleaning. Living up north and have a home to sell here in South Florida? Just give her the keys, address, and a signature. Your payment will be wired when the property is sold. That's right, Diane does it all. Thinking of buying? Diane has great listening skills. Tell her what you want, give her your budget, and like a genie, she will make your real estate wish come true. There's no regrets when you choose Diane Wittick of Bowen Realty. To reach Diane, call 561-247-5478. That's 561-247-5478. Diane Wittick at Bowen Realty, located in Wellington at Wellington Trace East and Forest Hill Boulevard. 561-247-5478.
You're listening to The Rainmaker Show on 900 AM, The Talk of the Palm Beaches, with Riscala Stephan, providing a flood of opportunities to benefit your life. Reach the show at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Riscala.
I want to thank you for taking the time to tune in today. Truly, it is an honor and a privilege to present to you Dr. Susan Club, who I have known personally for well over 20 years. I know this person as a personal friend, and I can tell you that this person cares about what she does. She has passion for the work that she does. She cares for both the pet and the individual. So as we wind down here, I want to remind you that Dr. Susan Club is available in Loxahatchee. Would you give out the address, Dr. Club?
It's on E Road in Loxahatchee, 3319 E Road. So we're 1.3 miles north of Okeechobee on the dirt road, E Road.
On the dirt road. So if I wanted to find your place, I would go westbound on Okeechobee until I got to E Road, which is about a mile, maybe 2 miles past Royal Palm Beach Boulevard. Is that about right? A couple of miles west of Royal Palm Beach Boulevard.
Yeah.
Try to give an idea where you are. And then I would find E Road. I would then head north on E Road for approximately a mile, maybe a mile and a quarter, and I would see your clinic on the left-hand side of the road.
Right, right. And the secret to the road is not to go really slow.
Yeah.
When it's really dry with, you know, the drought conditions that we're having now, the road becomes very washboard. So if you go about 25, stay close to the canal, it smooths out. If you go 5 miles an hour, it'll beat you to death. So don't do that on the dirt road, on E Road. We're certainly hoping that they're going to end up paving it soon. I would love that. It'd be nice.
That would be really nice. I have gone down that road many times, and there are times when it gets rained out, and you don't want to be doing 5 miles an hour. You're going to shake every nut and bolt loose in your car if you do that. So let's get back to some of the stuff that you do that other vets don't do. We've already talked about the birds. We've talked about reptiles. We've talked about bees. We've talked about chickens. We've talked about goats. What have we left out, Dr. Club? What else do you see?
Rabbits, hamsters, guinea pigs. We had a great case in yesterday. We had this guinea pig that was so gigantic, and she couldn't have her babies. And we gave her a shot of oxytocin, and she sat in my front waiting room and had five little baby guinea pigs.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. What an experience.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So not only are you a vet, but you're also a deliverer. She also delivers babies.
Well, she just needed a little help. She just needed a little nudge to get those babies out.
I want to remind the listeners that the purpose of the show is to provide you a flood of opportunities to benefit your life. And when you're dealing with a small business, you are not dealing with a large company that has a CEO getting ready to buy another house, a third house, a fourth house, a vacation house. You're actually helping a local family pay the mortgage, put food on the table, help support their life. 43 cents of every dollar that is spent locally, this is approximate, but it's about 43 cents of every dollar spent locally stays here. When you're spending that money on the internet, when you're spending that money with the large global corporations, we don't see that kind of result. As I have said many times, in 2013, there was approximately 1,300,000, 1,400,000 people in Palm Beach County. If only half of us would spend $50 a month, we would put tens of millions of dollars back in the local economy. That's where everybody wins. We get that money back in here and things get done, whether it's money for school, whether it's money for roads, whatever that is, we have it available to us. One of the things that I do on this show is to help spotlight small businesses in an effort to bring recognition to them, because small businesses are what this country has been built on. The back of small businesses is what made this country who we are today. And it is small businesses that will continue to make, to strengthen this company and make the difference. Because when you're dealing with someone like Dr. Club, for example, when Dr. Club sees you, she doesn't see a number. She sees an individual. She sees a shareholder that is part of her corporation, because without you, she wouldn't exist. That's the big difference that I want to bring to you, the listener. A difference that where you're going to deal with somebody that cares about you. They don't want just your money. They want to see that things are done right, and it's something of a passion for them. So before we go, Dr. Club, I want to ask you, again, if people want to reach you, let's go over that one more time. If people want to reach you, how do they do that?
Rainforest Clinic for Birds and Exotics. We have a website. A lot of people find us through our website, which is being updated now. So,
and the website. Let's give out the website.
Susan Club at...
Caught her off guard.
SusanClub.com.
Is it SusanClub.com? It's not the Rainforest?
Yeah.
I thought it was originally...
If
was
you go to SusanClub.com, you'll find it. Or, okay. Or you can search, you know, you can Google Rainforest Clinic for Birds and Exotics in Loxahatchee, Florida, 561-795-4878. Please call for an appointment.
And it's... Spell your last name for me, Susan.
C-L-U-B-B.
Susan L. Club. Is that correct?
Correct.
And you'll find her on the internet. Not only... If you go look her up on the internet, you're going to find that this is one amazing individual. She has done a wide variety of work for a wide variety of people. As we wind down, how much time have we got left, Mr. Engineer? We're down to 1 minute. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for taking the time to listen today. I hope that if you are in need of a very special vet, that you would consider Dr. Susan Club. I can promise you this. If you go see her, you will continue to see her, because she provides, like I provide, a win-win situation. Thank you for listening. The Rainmaker Show. We'll see you next week.
Thinking of moving? Before you do anything else, call Diane Wittick of Bowen Realty. She provides a concierge service. Things like having your home or condo packed and shipped. Even take care of your home repairs or upgrades. Diane has the expertise to get it done. As a seller, you will have constant contact. She will furnish you with bids on any services that might need completion. Air conditioning, plumbing, handyman, and even cleaning. Living up north and have a home to sell here in South Florida? Just give her the keys, address, and a signature. Your payment will be wired when the property is sold. That's right, Diane does it all. Thinking of buying? Diane has great listening skills. Tell her what you want, give her your budget, and like a genie, she will make your real estate wish come true. There's no regrets when you choose Diane Wittick of Bowen Realty. To reach Diane, call 561-247-5478. That's 561-247-5478. Diane Wittick at Bowen Realty, located in Wellington at Wellington Trace East and Forest Hill Boulevard. 561-247-5478.